This reading is from Mark 2, starting at verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus and, after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." I'll just pray for Peter before he preaches. Dear Lord, we thank you for Peter and the gift that he has given to this church of his preaching. And we just pray now that you'll bless him and help him as he preaches to us this passage. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lucy. Thank you. Right now, I want us to think about three things we can learn from that story that you've been taking part in and helping to act out. Three things, three really important lessons. So it's going to take about 10 minutes at the most, okay? We're going to look at that. So let's have a think about this. So first of all, the first lesson I want us to learn is this. Jesus welcomes everyone who comes to him by faith. That's the first lesson. Jesus welcomes everyone who comes to him by faith. Now, we don't know a lot about this sick person, but what we do know is that his friends brought him to Jesus. This man and his four friends came to Jesus because they believed that he was the only one who could help them. Now, we might have thought that Jesus would be really cross when the four friends came and bashed a hole in the roof of the house, especially because it probably wasn't Jesus' house. And maybe the person who owned the house might be thinking, "I don't really like my house having its roof knocked in." Now, in those days, the roofs were made out of very kind of like leaves, and it was fairly easy to break through them. But Jesus doesn't see a great big hole to be repaired. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he didn't tell them to go away and come back when he wasn't as busy. He welcomes them just as he welcomes everyone who put their faith and trust in Jesus. And what is faith? What is faith? Well, here's a story that might help us to learn what faith is. Now, I'm hoping we've got a little video that might help. Now, who's heard of Charles Blondin? Anybody heard of Charles Blondin? Anybody know what Charles Blondin did? What did he do? Somebody shout it out. He crossed the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. So he got like a washing line and he put it across the Niagara Falls and he walked across the Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls are really scary to even look at, never mind cross them on a washing line. But we're going to watch a little video, and this is what happened with Charles Blondin. So hopefully it'll play. Let's have a look.
Better known as Blondin, was a famous tightrope walker and acrobat. He's perhaps best known for his many crossings of a tightrope, 1,100 feet in length, suspended 160 feet above Niagara Falls in the USA. His act would be watched by large crowds and begin with a relatively simple crossing using a balancing pole. Then he would throw away the pole and amaze the onlookers. On one occasion, he crossed the tightrope on stilts. On another occasion, blindfolded. Another time, he stopped halfway to cook and eat an omelette. In 1860, a royal party from England came to watch Blondin perform. After his normal spectacular crossings, he then wheeled a wheelbarrow from one side to the other as the crowd cheered. Next, he put a sack of potatoes into the wheelbarrow and wheeled that across. The crowd cheered louder. Then he approached the royal party and asked the Duke of Newcastle,
"Do you believe that I could take a man across the tightrope in this wheelbarrow?"
Yes, I do," said the Duke.
"Ah, hop in," replied Blondin.
The crowd fell silent, but the Duke of Newcastle would not accept Blondin's challenge.
"Is there anyone else here who believes I could do it?"
asked Blondin. No one was willing to volunteer. Eventually, an old woman stepped out of the crowd and climbed into the wheelbarrow. Blondin wheeled her all the way across and all the way back. The old woman was Blondin's mother, the only person willing to put her life in his hands.
That's great, Lucy. Thank you. Now, so there we go. That was just a little illustration of what faith is. We talk a lot, don't we, about faith. But faith isn't just believing, saying that we think something can happen, but it's actually to put our trust in something. And Jesus says he wants us to put our faith in him, to trust our lives to him, not just say we believe it in our heads, but to show by putting our trust in the one who died on the cross for us. When we put our trust in Jesus, it's like we're trusting him to rescue us, to save us. He made the world that we live in. He never did any wrong, and he died on a cross. And then because he was God, he has power over death. And he beat death, and he rose from the grave. And those four men in that story, they put their faith not in their ability to get their friend to Jesus, didn't they? Not in their ability to break through the roof of the house. Their faith was in Jesus' power to heal their friend. So faith in Jesus isn't about doing lots of religious things. It's not about trying to make God accept us by being really, really good. It's about knowing that we've got nothing to bring to Jesus and putting all our trust in him. Bible faith, you see, is that when we realize we've got nothing to bring to Jesus and that we're helpless to deal with our sin, the bad stuff in our lives, and the judgment that we deserve. Faith in Jesus is like coming like that paralyzed man to Jesus who couldn't do anything. He couldn't even lift up his arms, could he, to Jesus. That kind of faith, the Bible tells us, is a gift of God. And there's a verse in the Bible, and there it is on the screen, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." That's the faith, boys and girls, and older ones too, that saves us, faith in Jesus. So that's the first lesson that we learn, that Jesus welcomes everyone who comes to him by faith. And the next lesson is this, that our greatest need, well, is it money? Is our greatest need money? Is our greatest need family? Is our greatest need, well, what's our greatest need? It's God, it's forgiveness, isn't it? And the forgiveness that he brings. Our greatest need is forgiveness and to know the God who gives it. Many people think that their greatest need is happiness or to be free from illness and trouble. And it's true that God created us so that we could live life to the full. That's what the Bible says. But if we try to live that life without God, then we'll miss out on the life he wants us to live. Our greatest need, some people say, is to feel good about ourselves. Well, having Jesus in our lives will change the way we think about ourselves. But before that can happen, we've got to recognize that we are sinners, that we've done wrong and turned against God. There was a footballer called Bobby Moore. Now, Bobby Moore lived a long time before some of you boys and girls did. But Bobby Moore, he was the captain of England when they won the World Cup in 1966. Now, in 1966, he came up to collect the cup. And as he came to collect the cup, Bobby Moore saw ahead of him the Queen who was going to present the cup. And what do you think the Queen was wearing on her hands? Can you remember? Can you think what it might have been? She was wearing gloves. And what colour were they? They were white. And what colour do you think Bobby Moore's hands were, having played a football game? oh, they're all dirty. And as he came to the queen, he thought, I can't shake the queen's hand because my hands are all dirty. And he didn't want to shake the queen's hands. Got a picture of it there on the next one, Lucy, on there. That was it. So he just couldn't possibly put his hands in the queen's hands because he thought, I can't possibly do that. And do you know, boys and girls, older ones too, we shouldn't be able to come to God because we've done things that make us dirty inside. And God is so pure. But when Jesus said to the paralyzed man that he needed to be forgiven, he was putting his finger on the most important thing in his life. The thing he needed more than anything else was to be washed clean from the guilt of his sin. He needed forgiveness. And we too, we've gone our own way. We've rebelled against God and we've pushed him out of our lives and we've made ourselves in charge instead of him. And that's what sin is. But that's why the greatest thing God came to do was to forgive us by sending Jesus to the cross. And the third thing that we learn, not just there, that our greatest need is forgiveness. The last thing is that Jesus has power to forgive sins. And there's a verse in Mark chapter 10, verse 2, and it says this, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And Son of Man is one of the names of Jesus. It means that Jesus became a real man as Almighty God. When Jesus said he could forgive that man's sin, it made the teachers of the law really, really mad because they knew that the Bible said only God can forgive sins, and they were right. Only God can forgive sins. And by saying he could forgive sins, Jesus was saying that I am God. And that's what made them so mad. And then Jesus, do you remember, he asked that puzzling question. He said, what's easier? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or get up, take your mat and walk? Which one's easier, do you think? Is it easier to say to someone, you're forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Which one's easier, do you think? That's a funny question, isn't it? It's a funny question because in one way, it's really easy to say your sins are forgiven. I could say, Ian, your sins are forgiven, and nobody would know that it had really happened. But what did Jesus do to prove that he'd really forgiven this man's sins? What did he do? Have a go. Brilliant. He made him get up and walk. Well done, Sophie. That's really good. That's really good. He made him get up and walk, didn't he? And up he got, and the crowds were amazed. You see, Jesus proved that he had power not only to make this man walk, but to forgive his sins. The teachers of the law couldn't believe in a God who cared for people like that, but Jesus made them better. And the crowds were amazed because Jesus had showed who he really was. You see, actually, to make someone's sins forgiven, to forgive someone's sins, is really, really hard. It was really, really hard. It's easy in one way for us to say, please, Jesus, forgive me. But for Jesus to be able to forgive us, it wasn't easy, was it? For Jesus to forgive sins, he had to come into this world and die on a cross for the wrong things that we've done. He had to suffer. And you've got the next picture, Lucy, for us there. Jesus had to die on a cross for the wrong things we've done so that that hard work of forgiveness could be done. That wasn't an easy thing for Jesus, was it? That was a hard thing for Jesus. But do you know what? Forgiveness is good news for us. It's good news for us, forgiveness, because if you're not yet a Christian, then it's amazing news because it means that you can know God. Your sins might be few, they might be many. We all need God's forgiveness. It's the greatest thing that we need more than anything else. But the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And this man and his friends, they could have decided that he was too poorly or that he wasn't good enough to come to Jesus. But nothing was going to stand in their way. They came to Jesus. And do you know what? Good news is the forgiveness is good news for Christians too. Sometimes we feel really bad and we don't feel we can come to God. We think, well, I've done too many bad things and God will never accept me. But the good news of the gospel is that when we're really sorry for our sins, God gives us free and plentiful forgiveness and grace. He never sets a limit on how much we can be forgiven. And forgiveness, finally, is good news for your friends as well, just as it was for that man. And his friends brought him to Jesus, didn't they? And do you know what? The forgiveness of God, God's forgiveness through Jesus, is great news for your friends. And so you can tell your friends about Jesus. And do you know what? You can bring your friends to Jesus too. And you might say, how do I do that? Jesus is in heaven. How do I bring my friends to Jesus? Well, we can do it by living to please Jesus and pointing people to Jesus by living Jesus' way. We can do it by inviting our friends to church. We can do it by giving our friends books to read about Jesus. And we can do it by bringing them to Jesus in prayer. So when you came to church today, I wonder what you thought your greatest need was. Did you realize it was for forgiveness? The good news is that the God who is so holy that he can't even look at sin offers forgiveness. And he offers it to everyone who will turn from their sin and put their faith and trust in him. Have you done that? Have you ever asked Jesus to do that for you? Because he will, you know. He really will. Many of us here have discovered that to be true. And remember, no matter how many times we do wrong, we can come back to Jesus and ask his forgiveness, and he'll give it to us. Well, we're going to sing two songs now to finish our service. Your singing has been fantastic. Really, really good. And we're going to sing